Do you know who else is already here? Every angel in heaven, because heaven is not far from us. Thousands and ten thousands.
You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Friscup. This message was recorded on November 26, 2025, and is titled, What If? So grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
We read yesterday in Bible study that I have called you to be kings and priests. And that's the last little segment of my story tonight. Right out of Revelation 5. You see, a king doesn't lord over his family. A king stands up and directs traffic a little bit. He rules in some areas. But a king is a true protector of the flock. A man who's king of his home, he protects. He protects their eyes. He protects their ears. He protects their soul. He's a protector. He's a warrior. He claims what belongs to his family. And he doesn't let anybody steal from him. He's brave. He's fearless. He's committed time to knowing what the truth is and being a good leader. He's a guy who can follow. The only way you can lead is you got to first know how to follow. He's a king. That same guy's got to be a priest. I would have never known how to do this without this weekend. My family needed the guy to stand up there and take it on the chin. That's me. Glad to do it. They also needed a guy who was going to hold him up in his arms. Tell him, you're not going to be worried forever. It'll all be okay here one of these days. I ain't going anywhere, so nobody's going to get you. It's all going to be all right. Trust in God. Trust in his word. The priest gets under the flock. He doesn't lord over them. I'm not talking about church settings. That's where everybody's mind goes in Christianity. Listen, Christianity is very, very, very compromised. Very compromised. But the reality of it is, tomorrow, when you're sitting around at Thanksgiving, be a grandpa that'll just stand up, do everything you can to protect their eyes, protect their ears. Do everything you can to prepare them for war. That's what a king does, prepare them for war. Teach them how to fight. Teach them how to stand up like men. But at the same time, don't forget to be a priest. They're going to need somebody to love on them. Somebody to encourage them. Somebody to put up with them when they screw up. Boy, I'm a priest and son of a gun, ain't I? Yeah, it's two-faceted. I just want to share that with you today before Thanksgiving, because God has brought people to your assistance, people to help you in your endeavors, whatever it is. They'll show up. But somewhere in there, be sure you know who's the leader, okay? Be sure you know where he's going. Kind of where it's headed. And if he can't turn around and minister to you a little and help you and encourage you, strengthen you, I probably wouldn't follow him very far. Those guys that want to lord over you all the time, they want your freedom. They want your liberty. We do it in Christianity all the time. Put them up here at the front and have somebody tell you what to do all the time, or, you know, a life coach on steroids. Ah, I got a pretty good life coach. Darn if he ain't the guy that created life. He's a pretty good one to talk to. I have to, you know why? My family's absolutely dependent on me to lead them. Leading your family is easy when it's easy. You ain't gonna learn nothing. Keep doing easy stuff all the time, you'll be as dumb as you was yesterday. Every now and then you'll wade off out there in skinny branches. And you look around and you go, oh, what have I done? And here in a minute comes the Reubenites, the Jezebites, the half-tribe of Manasseh. And you go, huh, I got some pretty good help. This ain't going to be as bad as I thought. I got some good help. And the Lord did it. I didn't do it. I didn't make any phone calls. I didn't rally the troops. God did it. Stones. It's a day you remember that we're a nation that was not plagued by the what ifs when this all began. They looked and turned the other way from the what ifs and said, we're going to do it anyhow. We're coming. We're staying. We're fighting. We believe God gave us this chunk of land. And you got to, if you believe God gave it to you, you got to go take it. They had to do it there when the land of Canaan wouldn't have been the land of Israel if they hadn't whipped a bunch of people. I mean, they had to go take it. You know, so, you know, if we're going to just have indigenous people day because we're mean people because we took over the land, I thank God we took over the land. Don't care what flavor you are. You wasn't going to be free until we did. You wasn't going to be able to operate your children and all that coming on for years and years. 250-year experiment, and here we are. And we're doing quite well. Christianity may actually be the weakest part of it until just here lately. And a guy had to get shot to fix that. But tomorrow we're thankful. I'm thankful that one day these boys right here will be kings and priests. Hopefully they'll be able to stand up to their battles, their stuff, and they'll see the hand of God. I'm going to tell you, that's been the funnest part this week. It's just been crazy, the stuff that's happened, you know. I got home Sunday night. I'm going to Las Vegas. My horse is crippled. It's like, you know, and Robin, she said, you know, if we were anybody else with all that's happened, we would say something like, I think God doesn't want us to go. Oh, it got quiet. You do know that Christianity now operates off of circumstance rather than the Word of God. Well, the devil's coming after you. You're probably going to do really good. Well, I don't know. My horse overreached. And I don't know what the devil had to do with that. He stepped on himself and he hurt his foot. I don't know where that comes in, but I'll tell you where the devil comes in. Because he'll come in and say, I don't think God wants you to go. When I knew months ago I was going, told my wife I was going. Does that mean I'm going to win? Nope. Does it guarantee I'm going to lose? Nope. Nope, there's got a set of rules for that. I'll have to play inside them rules, and I'll have to do it faster than anybody else if I'm going to get any money. That's how that game works. But I'm going. Don't know why. Don't care. Going. I'm just going. Well, what if it snows at Klein's Corners? I don't know. I got a four-wheel drive. I'm going. What if? Well, what if all the horses get sick? Mine won't. I'm going. Well, what if you drive all the way out there and miss? Already done that one. I'm going to go ahead and go in here. I'm going. I'm going. And I'm not going to let circumstances create a bunch of what ifs that creates a bunch of doubt and let my circumstances ruin my life. Well, I just thank God. He just must not want you to go. Really. How would you know? Because if that's how you do it, I'm pretty sure you don't know him. Now, I know that's pretty blunt, but my gosh, this thing of being a Christian without knowing Jesus is getting ridiculous. That's what we promote, you know. We do promote that. So in the midst of Thanksgiving and the 12 stones, marking a day to stop and be thankful, I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for an open heaven. I'm thankful for the tribes that come up. I'm thankful for the promise that God made to me a long time ago, the same one he made to Abraham. I'm thankful for the promise he made to Joshua. Wherever you place your foot, take your shoes off, boy, this is holy ground. Dusty, they're going to be kind of curious if I walk down in that arena down there at South Point and just kick my boots off right quick. You know it could happen. Oh, the colonel, he's lost it again. Why is he running around down there barefoot? Oh, just making sure God knows that I know where I am, he is. And wherever I am, he'll be there also. Isn't that cool? That's cool. Anybody got anything you want to add to that while the microphones are on tonight? Anybody been to the battlefield lately and you seen God going two jumps in front of you? I mean, that's awesome. Yeah, I'll tell you, that's funny. That big old yellow horse of mine, old Drifter, you know, he's kind of been like a pacifier. I just kind of prayed I couldn't go without my blankie, you know. Man, I'm going to tell you, just in the blink of an eye, I got a better one. I mean, it's like fun walking around just grinning all the time. I mean, I've had such a good time. Yeah. It's all God. I couldn't done it. I mean, I couldn't have come nowhere close. And boom. He just shows up and says, look here. You know the Bible says that he knows what you need before you ask for it? All you got to do is get to it. Get to where it's at. Yeah. So how about some of y'all? What's going to be on your mind in the morning? You got any generations you want to show 12 stones to? Y'all pretty quiet tonight. Huh? No big wild stories to tell? Dang, y'all going to have to get to doing something. I mean, that's the best part of this, having the stories to tell. Yeah, I had two different ladies tell me this weekend, you need to write a book. I said, can't. They said, why? I said, I rope. Same thing I told my mother. I ain't got time for a book. I rope. I like it. Well, all right. You got something? Get up there on that thing. Well, hurry up. Get up there. That gum dusty, I just beg you to get up there. Oh, God must not want you to talk.
There we go. You talk about them horses and testimonies, and I haven't shared this with probably anybody but Tammy. But And you will be one that'll remember the most of it, but remember the little white horse I used to ride, Cubo? Rode him for years. He was a little blessing. He was a little solid white horse that I rode and won a lot of money on. Just seemed like every time we turned around, somebody was giving us a check. And when he was 20 years old, I sold that horse. Daryl Cook called me, and he wanted to buy a horse, a gentle, gentle horse. And so I told him, I said, Dale, that'll be fine. He said, I got one, but I said, he's 20 years old. And I said, I'll take $10,000 for him in cash. And if you don't like the way he eats his oats, bring him back. So he
came. Oh, I just got a message from the IRS.
Yeah. Six years later. Well, I got a call one day, and they said he couldn't ride him, and I called him, told him to bring my horse back. He said, he's mine, you spend that money. And so 6 years later, he drove up to my house, and he unloaded that horse. And I asked him, I said, you want your money back? And he said, no. He said, I just want you to have him back. Well, he was old and getting crippled, and we wound up giving him to Sam Jenkins' daughter for a therapy horse. But when he showed up, Tammy and I had just gotten married, and I seen she rode him around, and I told her, I said, I'd love to have that horse 7 years old. I said, he's great. Well, last year, before we got ready to go to Vegas, I was afoot. I had nothing. And Chris Francis called me, and he said, come up here. He said, I got three horses. One of them was Caleb Drigger's horse, old gangster, and one was a horse he and I had bought off of Tyler McKnight, and then this white horse that him and Kent Youngblood had. He said, come ride all three of them. So I went and I rode all three of them. Well, the white horse fit perfect. Took him to Vegas. Long story, I broke a barrier for Randy Knight to pay for the one he bought out there, and got him home, and I left him there because they was going to take him back home. I just used him. Well, they called me, Kent said, go get that horse. And he said, I'm going to sell him to you. So I go get him, bring him home, and it was just a story. I mean, I took him to the vet. He said, get him vetted. Well, guess what? He flunked. So he said, take him. So I took him home, and he's 7 years old. He's just as white as the other one. Looks just like him, and can outrun him. So God heard. He knew, like you said, what I needed before I asked. I didn't ask for that horse. I just called and said, I got to borrow a horse. And God delivered a 7-year-old cue ball. But his name's Reno. So,
hey, and let me tell you what happens. If you get off the one God gave you, the next one will be blind. And if you keep jacking with him, he'll kick you in the leg. That's kind of a private story. Anyway, hey, I didn't tell him about the dog, so we're even. Hey, but yeah, he is. He's just, and that is. That's a great story. And you know, and when people get tangled up, well, why are you guys talking about your team roping all the time? And for us, that's important to us. So whatever's important to you is important to God. And if you can be holy in it and you find life in it, delight yourself and I'll give you the desires of your heart. Psalms 37:4. Yeah. If you just make yourself useful in whatever you're doing and find life in it. Do you know what I found out this week? If you're a guy that's happy all the time around people that don't want to be, you're nauseating. You know that? Happy people are nauseating. I heard that personally this week. You just can't be like that all the time. You're just fake. You can't be that happy all the time. Man, I'm sorry you believe that. I really am sorry you believe that. If you knew who I knew, it's doable. I don't know how you be thankful when you don't have joy. I don't know how that works. So, anybody else? We're going to Vegas next week, and Dusty or I, one, maybe both of us, We're going to win an obscene amount of money. No, sir. I'm giving mine to somebody else. I already know who I'm giving to. It won't be a religious organization either. That's the truth. Yeah, I already know. I know where mine's going. Not the IRS either. I know how to bypass them. But we bring it in cash. That's what Dusty did. Bring it in cash. But anyhow, we're getting off track here. Anybody else before we bust out of here and you go hang out with your families and friends and whatever you got going on? Be thankful.
You're talking about happy people. I like being around happy people. People that are grumpy and they always have something wrong with them suck. I have a friend like that. I call him and every day he's got something. Whenever I talk to him, every day he's got something new wrong with him. I told him, I said, man, aren't you just happy to be alive? I mean, well, why this and well that? I said, well, you're not in a wheelchair. I mean, you could still get up and do things. I mean, my God, be happy that your eyes came open this morning. But, you know, like you're saying, people that aren't happy, they just suck. I don't even want to be around them. You know, I mean, it's like being in the fog all the time.
You know what the Bible says about that? Do not stand with sinners, sit in the seat of mockers, or walk in the pathway of the scornful. Psalms 1. Don't do it, man. They'll suck the life out of you. Don't be a campaign speech, is it?
All right. So, back in...
Tell them who you are.
My name is Mark Lee Dixon, founder of the Sanctuary Cities for the Unborn Initiative. And I get to work with an attorney by the name of Jonathan Mitchell, who is one of President Trump's attorneys. And back in 2019, the Lord really put on my heart. I was doing some sidewalk counseling outside of an abortion facility in Shreveport, Louisiana. I'm from East Texas, by the way. And that abortion facility found out was looking at moving 18 miles over the Texas border to Wascom, Texas. Really disturbed me. That abortion facility would pull from a 200-mile radius. And the Lord put on my heart Amos 5:15, which says to hate evil, love good, and establish justice within the city gates. And perhaps the Lord, the God of hosts, be gracious on the remnant of Joseph. And that started a journey for me. Didn't know what I was doing, had never been to a council meeting in my life, didn't own a suit, prayed to the Lord, and he called me to show up and to work with my senator in that area, Senator Hughes, and this attorney. And we saw Wascom become the first city in the nation to pass an ordinance outlawing abortion. And I'll never forget, there was I was looking online and there was this online newspaper called Lubbock Lights, and someone wrote, Lubbock should be the next sanctuary city following Wascom. Looked up the population of Lubbock, had never been to West Texas before. Saw the population of Lubbock, I laughed, and then God convicted me. And little did I know that God did have plans for Lubbock. And we'd eventually see a victory in Lubbock, and God used that to bring it into the abortion facilities here in the state of Texas. When Roe v. Wade was overturned, those abortion facilities looked at moving to Clovis and Hobbs, and working with Senator David Gallegos and my attorney, we ended up introducing some ordinances in southeastern New Mexico that pushed the abortion industry all the way to Albuquerque. And people said, well, you know, that's good. You know, everything's done, right? And I said, no. We got to love our neighbor in New Mexico. We got to keep on doing everything we can. Found out that the abortion facilities that had moved to Albuquerque, 95% of their clients, 85 to 95% of their clients are Texas residents. And the roads that they're taking go through some of our most beloved cities, and Amarillo, which is another city. But in this journey, some of these cities, we saw mayors and city councils put this on their agenda and pass these ordinances. We saw judges and county commissioners do the same. And then others, we had to go to the ballot.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.